Again, thank you for your patience with the blunders on my end. I never quite get things right, it seems, but I'm glad for your patience. You guys are very... One thing I have to say, in our months here at Beulah Baptist Church, I just really appreciate you guys. You really are some kind, loving people, and I know you look out for one another, and I think that's just really cool. I just think it's really great that, you know, if you're part of this church or if you're pretty new coming here, these people care about one another. They really do. They look out for one another. They pray for one another, and that's a good thing. That's a beautiful thing. I love that. So I wanted to just do a very quick review of last week. We spoke about that God is in control. How many remember that from last week? Okay, that's good. You know, Psalm 22 last week, it says this, that the kingdom is the Lord, and he's the governor over the nations. Amen. The governor over the nations. Jesus is ruling. We talked about that last week. So this week, it just seems like a natural follow-up to last week by asking the question of, if God is in control, how come I want to be in the driver's seat all the time? It's just a default human heart condition that we like to control our lives. One guy said that when he was in a brace, I don't know what had happened to him, he'd had a surgery, he had to be in a brace. And so for quite a while, his wife had to drive the car. So he'd get in the car, and he discovered something about his own self. He really, really liked to drive, and it was really hard for him to keep his mouth shut because his wife was a good driver, but she just drove differently than he drove. So he had to really zip his lip to not try to tell her how to drive. It's just very human. Now, I want to talk about a guy named Jonah today. I know most all of you have read about him. Jonah was the first missionary. You know, by the way, I didn't say hello, but it's good to see Nan and Steve here today with Rena. And one of the things that I praise the Lord for about Rena is that there's just a lot of family support there, and I'm just thankful for that. And I just really am glad I got to meet Nan and Steve. So anyway, Jonah was the first missionary, first foreign missionary. You know, the Israelite prophets... you know, if you picture the map of Israel, northern kingdom, 10 tribes, southern kingdom, Judah, 2 tribes, all of those prophets that were in the land of Israel really spoke to the Israelites. Sometimes they would talk about other nations and wicked things that were going on around them, but their mission was to really speak to Israel. Jonah was the first guy that was actually sent outside of Israel to a foreign nation. He's the very first foreign missionary. And Jonah's story has suffered from an overemphasis upon the fish and the whale. It's been the critics of the Bible have had a heyday with Jonah because they're saying, a fish, a whale, come on, let's throw this fairy tale book out. And they've just criticized the Bible because of the whale and the fish story. They think that's a pipe dream. But listen, God has done miracles all the way through, amen? What about raising from the dead? Is that a miracle? That's a miracle, okay? So we're talking, you know, the story of Jonah is not really about the fish. The fish is only mentioned 4 times in the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah is not about Nineveh, Assyria, where Jonah was sent to go. That's only mentioned 9 times. The book of Jonah is not about Jonah himself because Jonah is only mentioned 18 times. But God is mentioned in the book of Jonah 38 times. The book of Jonah is all about God. So what he wants to do is to change our minds through the book of Jonah. And the fish miracle, the whale miracle, whatever you want to call it, it really is an object of faith and not an object of explanation where we got to try to figure out how did God do that with a fish or a whale. We just have to take that as an article of faith. And if you overemphasize that argument, you'll miss the point of Jonah. So, I want to go into now just the first 3 verses of the book of Jonah. And if you have a Bible, you'd like to follow along. The first 3 verses of the book of Jonah. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. You know, it says now. It starts out and now. You know, the Bible is a continuing story all the way through, cover to cover, of God wanting to reconnect with his sinful creation and show them that they can connect back with him through this Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about God's pursuit all the way through Old and New Testament, where he's reaching out to help his fallen creation reconnect with him through Jesus Christ. And it just says, and now, here's another part of that story. It's the book of Jonah. So God initiates this mission. Initiate means starts it. How many really believe God really, really wants to save lost people? I mean, people who don't know him, wicked people, people who don't know the Lord. God really, really wants to save them. So he starts this mission for Jonah, and Jonah flees from the Lord. You know, sometimes you and I actually sort of run from God. Jonah was steering, of course, his own life. God comes in and says, hey, Jonah, can I have the wheel, please? I have a mission for you. And Jonah was kind of like, well, Lord, I want to drive, thank you. I don't really think that you know the best, Lord, so I'm going to drive. And Jonah just, he went the other way. He's basically telling the Lord, I want to steer. And I think, you know, Jonah can make us a little uncomfortable because we find out a lot of times that we are the ones that want to steer. We like to steer our own lives. I know there's lots of ways where I do. So Jonah had a commission. His commission was a place called Nineveh. It was the capital of Assyria. Nineveh was such a large city that they say on foot it would take you 3 days to walk across this city. How long would it take you to walk across Rocky Mount? Well, you can probably do it in maybe, I don't know, half hour from, you know, from if you started out at Lowe's or whatever and went all the way over to the courthouse, maybe a half hour. It took 3 days to walk through Nineveh. And Nineveh was known to be basically the cruelest, most violent people in the whole world. We could talk about some R-rated stuff that they used to butcher people with this morning, but I'm not going to go there. They were just very, very wicked, violent people. You can read about some of their atrocities that they would do when they would go to war and stuff. So Jonah fled. He went down. You know, here's Israel. Nineveh and Assyria is over this way. And Jonah, when he hears from the Lord, he goes this way. Instead of going east like he was supposed to, he goes down to a seaport called Joppa. Here's the Mediterranean Sea. And he gets on a boat, and he's going to go about 500 miles. They think it was on the west coast of Spain. So this is as far away as you can go in the known world. He's just going the opposite way. It says that, you know, he went down into the ship. And, you know, when you and I want to just drive the car of our life and we want to be in control, you know, it often starts going downhill, doesn't it? When I was totally in control, I thought of my life. You know where it went? It went down to the bottom. By age 25, I was just at the bottom. I wasn't in jail, but I was at the bottom because I was trying to drive my life. Well, Jonah went down into the ship, man. He's trying to drive and it's going downhill already. There are ways in which we control our life, we steer it, where we want to be in the driver's seat of our life. Let's look at a few of those. What about lying and exaggeration? Have you ever exaggerated, you know? Don't really want to call it a lie. It's polite to just say exaggerate. Well, sometimes we want to appear better than we really are. Some people do that. They want to control their image, so they lie and exaggerate. What about withdrawing? Some people will withdraw. You know, they've been hurt in some way. So I'm going to kind of stay away from people. I'm going to keep walls up around my life. I don't want anybody to really get close because I might get hurt. And they try to control their life that way. Here's one that gets me is procrastination. I really should do these things or should do that or help my wife do this, and I don't, and I don't, and I don't, and I waste the time. That's a way to for me to control my life, really, and kind of keep God out of my schedule. Exercise. Some people, there's nothing wrong with exercising, but some people are so into it, they're basically saying, I refuse to grow old. You know, exercise. Advice giving. What about advice giving? Have you ever felt like your opinion is just superior to other people and you're just kind of waiting for them to be quiet so you can get your two cents in there? I've done that. You're prone to just, hey, be quiet because I want to give you some advice, you know. That's a way to control. Anger. How many have ever been around or been around anger where somebody's basically controlling, say, if you don't do what I want you to do, I'm going to get angry. That's controlling. That's steering. That's manipulating right there. That's Jonah, okay? What about possessing things? Sometimes material things and possessions and money, you know, can give you that feeling of like, I'm in control. You know, the Bible says the rich answer roughly, but the poor use entreaties. Sometimes when you possess a lot of material things, you begin to sort of look down on people. Seduction is a way that some people control. You know, I'm not a legalist about how people dress, but I do thank God for modesty when you see it. It sure helps us. Anybody, any other? Come on, fellas, be honest. Does a little modesty on the female side help you out? Well, sure it does. You know, I don't know about the last 20 years, the way some of these ladies in the TV screens and whatever dress, I'm like, whoa, you know. You know? So some people are controlling through seduction. What about, here's one that you wouldn't think is a controlling thing. It's helplessness and the victim. Some people are so good at being helpless and the victim that they just kind of draw you in like, you have to do things for me that I can't do it because I'm the victim and I can't. And so you end up doing things for them that they really could do for themselves. Some people are really good at being the victim. They're great victims and they always get everybody doing what they want them to do. Workaholism is another way that we can control. You know, our life may be out of control over here, and it's just kind of getting all fouled up, but at least we can control our work. So I'm going to pour myself into my work and become a workaholic. That's just another way where we're steering. There's a default mode. How many know what the word default means? That means when you go so far, it just falls back to the original default mode. Our default mode is we want to drive. We decide that we know better than God. We sort of mistrust God with our happiness. And there's a core truth here that when we run away from God like Jonah did, he runs after us. God is not trying to get at us. He's trying to get through to us, not in anger, but in mercy. Now, I want to pick up with verse 4 here in Jonah because he's in the ship and he's sort of running away from God. He's telling God no. Verse 4, it talks about how God will allow a storm. He doesn't always come up with the storm, but he can allow a storm to come to us. And it's like God saying to Jonah when this storm hits and the boat is about to break up. He's like, Jonah, do I have your attention yet? You know, are you ready to listen, Jonah? And Jonah's like, no. No, I'm not. And now the sailors got very desperate at this time. By the way, when I'm driving and I don't let God drive, I don't let God control the way I'm going to talk, the way I'm going to think, the way I'm going to act. If I want to drive all the time, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to start going downhill, but guess what? It's going to affect other people around me. It's going to affect your family. It's going to affect your friends. You know who it affected here with Jonah? It affected all the sailors and the passengers, man. Now they're in big trouble because of what Jonah wants to drive. He's like, no, God, you don't know God. I better do it, Lord, because I don't trust you. And so it was affecting other people. And so in verse 5, it said Jonah had gone down inside the ship and he was fast asleep. There's three things here that we're going to see with Jonah. Number one, he's down in the bottom of the ship and he's like sound asleep. It's like in deep denial. When you're driving and you're controlling and I'm controlling my life, sometimes it puts us in a state of denial where we don't even see that we're getting off track and we're affecting other people wrongly, you know. We just get in denial. You know, we see that officially like in alcoholism, you know, they're in denial. They don't know they have a problem, but it's in a lot of areas of control. So the soldiers, the sailors showed more faith than Jonah did, because they finally discover him sleeping down in the bottom of the boat, and they say, "Hey, sleeper, you know, wake up. Would you, you know, call on your God, pray. You know, don't you know we're sinking here?" You know, the sailors who were idol worshipers, they had more faith than Jonah did. Sometimes unsaved people care more than we do. That's true sometimes, you know. We like to think of ourselves, I do, that, you know, I really care. But sometimes I'm like Jonah. Well, I don't care. But these sailors did. So they cast lots, you know, that was like draw straws or throw the dice or something. Who's responsible here? Why are we in this pickle? Which passenger here is the reason for all? And it pointed right to Jonah. So God is in control of that. Even though they're casting lots, they're gambling and trying to, you know, God was in control. And, you know, again, he wants to save lost people. He's got a mission for Jonah. God was the first missionary. That's one of the things I got out of this reading this story, is God was the first, is the original missionary. He's not willing that any should perish. You've read that in the Bible. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Was anybody else here besides me lost? I was lost. Anybody else lost besides me before you came to Christ? Come on. We weren't born Christians, were we? No, we had to get born again once he found us, right? So he came to really seek for lost people. He didn't want heaven without us. God so loved the world. A question that I asked myself as I read this, do I care about the Ninevites that I know about today? Do I care about this quote-unquote wicked people, the lost people that I know today? Do I care about them? I have to ask myself that. You know, Isaiah heard this in chapter 6 of Isaiah. The Lord spoke. He said, "Who will I send? Who will go for us?" How many have read that in the book of Isaiah? Remember when he heard that in chapter 6? God said, "Isaiah, you know, I want to send missionaries, you know, to people. I want to tell people to get right with me. Who will I send? Who will go for us?" Isaiah heard that. Now, in verse 8, the sailors really want to know some answers. Like they're like, "Jonah, who are you? What's going on? Why is this happening?" He had told them that he was running away from God. But he says, well, he finally did witness. He says, "Well, I'm a Hebrew, and I serve, you know, the living God who made the land and the sea, by the way." And when they heard, "Oh, he made the sea too? Whoa, that's the God that we got to deal with, because look at this storm we're in, you know." So he finally did witness, and the sailors knew that Jonah had told them he was on the run. And they finally ask him, they say, you know, "What should we do? Jonah, tell us, what do we need to do with this God of yours, you know?" Listen, God wants you and I to have some answers ready for people. You know, there are lost people who really have questions. And, you know, 1 Peter 3:15, "Be ready always to have an answer for everyone who asks you of the reason of the hope that's in you with meekness and fear." You know, when you have a meek answer, an accurate answer for a lost person, you know what? You've just planted a seed. And just pray God will water it. That's a good seed. You know, 2 Timothy, it says, "Study, you know, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Jeremiah loved the word of God so much, he said, "Thy word was found, I did eat them, and thy word was the joy and the rejoicing of God." Some of you guys are still, maybe after many years, some after just recent times, you're getting into the word of God. You're getting into the word of God. Guess what I'm going to do right now? I'm going to say, "Good. That's good. You're in the right book." Okay. So be ready. Have an answer. And finally, he says, he basically disregarded. First, he's in denial. Now he's disregarding, "I don't really care about those Ninevites." And then finally, he's in out-and-out defiance. And he says to these sailors, he says, "Just throw me overboard." He's like, "I'd rather die than obey God here. I'd rather die than do what God told me to do. Just throw me overboard." He's just in an out-and-out defiance. So, and one pastor said this about this. It wasn't that the Ninevites were violent people, cruel people so much, as Jonah felt, well, they don't deserve to be saved. They just don't deserve mercy. They're so wicked. And, you know, sadly, a lot of times we Christians may feel that way about some people. We may say, well, they don't really deserve God, so heck with them. And you know what we kind of say in our heart, even maybe not in words? We say, let them go to hell. For how much we care. Sometimes that's the way it is. It's reality, sadly. But so he says, throw me overboard. The sailors, they're trying to row to safety, but they finally did ask God to forgive them, and they threw Jonah overboard. The seas became calm. And, you know, the sailors sacrificed and made vows unto God after that when they saw the sea was calm. You know, God is always a step ahead because he had that fish or whale, whatever you want to call it, right there, right at the right time. You know, John 10:4, it says this about all followers. Jesus goes before you. You know, wherever you're going the rest of today, wherever you're going this week, Jesus is already going before us. How many believe that? He says, I will go before you. He's got appointments for you this week with the people you're going to meet. Just the conversations you're going to have this week. He said, I'm already got that all figured out and set up if you'll just follow me. And he's got some interesting things for you this week. That's why I tell people being a Christian is never boring, man. You don't know what God's going to do day to day. He really brings some awesome appointments our way. So he had the fish ready. And all of that. So I want to skip to some application questions. By the way, one commentator said, God will put a whale of a problem in your way if he's trying to get your attention, you know. Anyway, so Jonah finally prayed in chapter 2. Here's an important point to remember. Jonah was running away from God. He wanted to steer, didn't want God to steer. When we run away from God, he does not run away from us. How many are glad about that? When we sort of want to steer and we want to avoid God or not listen, you know what? He doesn't run away from us. He was pursuing Jonah. Sometimes he has to use pain to bring us back to him. Now, here's a couple questions. Where is it that you and I tell God, I want to be in the driver's seat? Where am I telling God, Lord, I want to control. I'm having difficulty trusting that you have my best interest in mind. And if I let you control, Lord, I'm afraid that you're going to make me miserable. Is there a place like that? And we can pray, show me, Lord, where I seek to have control over my life. Here's some examples. I don't care what God wants. I'm going to just chuck my marriage. Now, not all divorces happen that way. That's not how all divorces happen at all. Each case is individual. I went through that when I was 23, okay? There's different circumstances and everything. But sometimes people just say, well, I'm just going to chuck it, you know, because I just don't think God can take care of this. Another way, we may be unwilling to have a spiritual conversation with a friend. I have an Islamic friend for the last 15 years. He's like a brother to me. His name is Abdul. I love the guy. We're just like brothers. But last week, I just felt it was time, I led of the Lord, to have a spiritual conversation with my Islamic friend. And it went really well. You know, so sometimes we're scared to have that conversation. Maybe we refuse to forgive somebody who has hurt or stolen from us. You know, if there is somebody that we can't forgive, we got to let God steer there, and we need to forgive. We just got to do it. You guys know that. Number 4, maybe we're unwilling to listen to God. He's given us a little nudge to get involved in a group, or maybe we're resisting, and we say, no, God, I'm not going to get involved with that fellowship or whatever. No. Maybe you keep drinking more. Now, a drink is not going to send you to hell. I don't mean that. But maybe you used to just have one. And now you need to have more and more until you lose count and you start numbing the whole situation. That can happen. Maybe we're just never content. You know, materialism can grip us to the point where we just got to have more. We just got to have more. Some people get caught in that trap. And they don't just trust God and haven't learned contentment. Here's how do I know if I am running from God? Do I have a storm in my life right now? Not all storms are created by God, but He will allow them. Is He using a storm in my life to try to wake me up? Sometimes major problems hit us. What should I do if I'm running from God? What should I do if I am steering and I just don't let God control? What should I do? The answer is just come home. Come home. I'm going to read a prayer that a pastor prayed about this one time as we move towards our close here today. But I loved how this man prayed this prayer, thinking about Jonah. Listen to the words, and these are not my words, but listen to how this man prayed one time. He said, "Father, many of us may feel you are displeased or angry with us, like you are looking for a way to punish us and put us in solitary confinement and make us pay. But Jonah's story tells us your heart is entirely different, and you're not out to get us, but you want to get through to us. Out of your mercy, you will pursue us and not just let us go completely. You care too much about us to do that. Help us believe that. Help us trust you know more what is good for us and are more committed to that than we are. Would you help us not to insist on controlling our lives, but to help us to let it go and let you be Lord in our lives. Help us to believe your constant posture towards us is mercy, and you are moving toward us even now with a heart ready to show grace and forgive. And I ask in Jesus' name." That was a prayer of Pastor Bill Heck out in Vancouver. And as we come, Linda, would you come? And Brenda, we have a closing hymn here this morning. It's number 443, but I want to give an invitation. And if you're sitting here this morning and you sense maybe the Lord is talking to you a little bit about the steering wheel, that you are prone to want to control everything in your life, and you struggle with that, of giving God the wheel, giving Him control. If you struggle with that, I want to just invite you to actually come down here in the front here with me. I'm going to stand down here because I struggle with that. I struggle with, I want to steer. I want to control. I want to run my mouth or whatever. I want to make the decisions. And God, I hope you bless it. You know, I struggle with that. So I'm going to stand here. But if that's your problem too at times where you want God to be more in control and not you, I want you to come down and at the close, I'm going to pray for you.